something is wrong, and it's time to stand up. You are listening to the John Aid Show.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age, and I'm your host, John Age. Happy to be back with you once again. In the dark side of the AM, we're sitting at 3:24 Eastern Standard Time on the 7th of June, year of our Lord, 2023. Thanks ever so much for being with me this evening, people. I'll be your tour guide as we take a somewhat satirical journey down the path of murder, destruction, mayhem, and the extermination of human life on this planet. A forced march into obsolescence thrust upon us by a global satanic death cult of pedophiles. It's wild out there, isn't it, folks? It really is. Please check out AnomicAge.com if you've not already done so. PayPal.me/AnomicAge. Patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. PayPal.me/AnomicAge. Patreon.com/AnomicAge. We got the iPhone app, the Android app. Subscribe by email, newsletter. Subscribe by email, the free newsletter. All that and so much more at AnomicAge.com. It's really a pleasure to be back with you folks. I've taken a couple days out and just, I'll just leave it at that. I've had to take some time here for a couple days. I'm not sure what's going on with the viewers and the listeners, as well as the Patreons and patrons and all that jibbity-jab. I don't know, folks. Last month, things fell out considerably. Lost some patrons. Lost a whole lot of listeners. I don't know what's up. I don't know. But, if nobody cares, then nobody cares. So be it. I'll keep doing what I do. So there you go. If you like the content, if you don't like the content, it's up to you, I suppose. But if you do like the information I'm bringing, the guests that I've had on, please paypal.me/AnomicAge, patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. I don't want this to be a big infomercial, but, this whole thing is not free by any stretch of the imagination. That's kind of where I was last few days, trying to figure some things out as to whether or not this whole shim-sham can continue or not. But what have you. You didn't come here for that. You came here for this. So let's get into it this evening, shall we? Groundhog Day, the title of tonight's episode. So if you're looking for some upbeat positivity, a lot of happiness, a lot of glee, a lot of people blowing smoke up your skirt, you've tuned into the wrong show. I'm not the person you should be listening to. You should change immediately. Because that's not what we do around here. We actually talk about reality. We talk about what's really happening in your neighborhood. In your neighborhood. In your neighborhood. Yeah. That's exactly what we do, folks. So if you're looking for some lies, go elsewhere. Because we're kind of the inversion of that. We're propagating truth in a world of lies. We're not going to spin you a yarn here in the Anomic Age. So I bring forth the title of tonight's episode, Groundhog Day, because I can't help but think that's kind of what our nation is in the constant state of Groundhog Day. It really is. Pardon me. You take a couple days off and your voice just kind of loses its strength, if you will. So Groundhog Day, folks, one of my favorite comedies, and I gotta be honest with you, I'm more of a fan of horror mysteries, thrillers, you know, typically of the classic variety, but nevertheless, that's kind of where my vein of movies is set. But I do like a good comedy here and there. I don't really like anything from this decade, or for sure this century, I guess, to be more specific, but I digress. Groundhog Day is a pretty good movie, not from this century nor this decade, and I've always found it quite funny. I hear the book's very dark. I don't have time to read, so forget about it. That ain't happening. Too busy just trying to stay afloat, if you will. But nevertheless, here the movie is sort of pales in comparison to the darkness that the book really resonates with. But if you really kind of strip the comedy down on this film, it does sort of tell you quite a dark plight of somebody who's not happy and he's not making other people happy. That sounds pretty familiar. But I digress again. Bill Murray, the character, or should I say the gentleman who plays the main character in the film, you know, he starts off as a real jerk. And he wakes up one day to realize he's reliving that same day over and over again. And at first, it sort of takes you down the path of what many of us might do if that were our reality. You sort of just go with the fun for a minute. And you just sort of goof off and have a good time and fulfill your senses, if you will. And then he sort of realizes that there's more than just this. I mean, if you want to go for a real stretch, it's got a lot of biblical connotations to it. Because at first, he's really living the life of a sinner. He's just doing life for him, and he's not being very kind to other people. And as so often occurs in the Bible, people realize that all that falderall is not going to get them anywhere. So he has a proverbial come to Jesus, road to Damascus moment, whatever you'd like to throw it out there. And he realizes that if he is damned to live the same day over and over again, that he's got to do something about it. He's got to make some changes. He's got to try to make the most of his situation, not just to fulfill his senses, if you will, his more hedonistic side. But there's so much more he can do as it pertains to becoming a better pianist. I don't think he was a piano player at all. He becomes a pianist. He helps elderly people. He helps children. He helps his colleagues that he's working with. And he ends up falling in love, and you know the rest of the story. But that is a sort of an emblematic tale, I think, as to where we are as a society. And I think there is so much of that biblical narrative interwoven in there. And if you really look at our society, I think there's a lot going on with our society that could also be construed in that same vein. I say all that to say this, folks. I often wonder what it's going to take for the people to realize the situation they're in, the plight they're in, the enormous hole that we have dug ourselves in. And I don't really have any answers to that. But I often just sort of view it as a Groundhog Day. The American people, I'll speak to them as I always do more specifically, because after all, I am an American. But I think there's a lot to that. There's something about the American psyche specifically that has us stuck on stupid, stuck in sort of that first phase of the film, you know, the first act, if you will, stuck on stupid. Because we're not learning from our mistakes. We're not realizing that we are, in fact, reliving the same day. We are stuck in Groundhog Day. You know, cue the Sonny and Cher song. You've woken up in the bed and breakfast again, and there you are. You've come to the realization that, oh, wow, it's another tyranny. Well, we've seen this play out before again and again and again. But in this instance, it's not the exact same day as Groundhog Day. It's sort of a ratcheting Groundhog Day, if you will. Because the tyranny keeps ratcheting up and ratcheting up and ratcheting up. So it's sort of a worse than Groundhog Day scenario for the American people. And I do come back to those same points, and I ask those same proverbial questions. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for the people to realize the quandary we're in? To realize we're way past 2 minutes to midnight, folks. It's a wrap, you know? And I don't say all that to come on here and be self-righteous, or to come on here and black pill everyone to the mindset that I'm always in. I'm just sort of using this as a platform of conversation, a platform of questioning, you know? That old Dead Kennedy song, I'm not telling you, I'm asking you. I'm always asking these questions. I don't know what it's going to take for the American people to get to Act Two in the Groundhog Day movie. I don't know. Because I feel like we have selective amnesia in the nation. It's very selective because, I'll give you this, I think we have selective amnesia and selective reminiscence. Because we're always quick to pull the rope and tug us back to that selective reminiscence, where we remember back, even if we weren't alive then. I think we are so suffused with this sort of propaganda that even if we know it's balderdash, we still hearken back for that time. We still hearken back for the warm feeling you might have once gotten when the pledge is going on and someone saluting a flag and the family's there at the table or what have you. All these things, I'm saying we have selective reminiscence of a bygone era that may not have ever existed. I think for so many of us, I wasn't alive then, but we point back to that idyllic 1950s culture, which I get wasn't idyllic for everyone, but just bear with me. For me, I mean, I hearken back to the 80s. That's when I was a child. Born in the 70s, child in the 80s, and, you know, adolescence in the 90s, you know the deal. So, I mean, I often hearken back to that childhood of the 80s. That was a much simpler time, far better than the 90s. I just, you know, disgusted with the 90s. I hated my adolescent time in the 90s. It was terrible. But I digress for the third time. I think we have selective reminiscence of those golden years, if you will, the golden era of Americana. But also we have selective amnesia, because no matter how many times we have our noses rubbed in the brown stuff, we keep coming back for more. And I really want to try to understand what makes someone that has suffered from abuse, physical, mental, sexual, whatever the case may be. This is often the case, so often the case. And I get it psychologically, man, I get it on paper, but it still boggles my mind. You know, I get it that it's a trauma-based reaction, a la the MK Ultra, the trauma-based mind control, where you shut off and partition parts of your mind where bad things have occurred so that you can keep on living somewhat of a normal existence enough to at least survive. So I get it on paper. I understand the process. But at the same time, it just keeps on happening. You know, it keeps on happening. If you just want to point to the last 30 years of America, I mean, that would take you through, what, Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City bombing, World Trade One, Columbine, 9/11, the Bundy and Lavoie Finicum, where they were gunned down, the COVID psyop, and all sorts of other false flags in between all that. I mean, I'm just talking about more specifically the shootings and such. I would put most of those in that ballpark. So we've seen so much trauma just in 30 years. And if you want to get even more to the point, I mean, you could look at the attempted assassination of Reagan, the assassination of Lenin, RFK, JFK, MLK. I would say there was at least something fishy to Bob Marley's death and something fishy to Malcolm X's death. Just saying. I don't think all was what it seemed in any of those situations, at best. So, you know, what if we turn the clock back another 30 years there? You know, something like that, right? So 60 years of trauma. And we're leaving out some obvious big ones, you know. We got the Challenger. We got Vietnam, Korean War. You know, we're going past 60 years at that juncture, but sinking to Lusitania, sinking to the Maine, financial collapse with the stock market crash, World War One, World War Two. Sinking to the Maine, I think I mentioned that already, huh? So there just seems to be this recurring theme of trauma. And with almost all of these incidences, I would suggest that it's very clear, even when these things occurred, that all was not as it seemed. Nothing is but what is not. The Alice in Wonderland quote that, and I'm borrowing that from John B. Wells. I heard him say that a long time ago, and I found it quite intriguing, so I looked into it, and it is. So nothing is but what is not, but nevertheless, if you're looking at any of those aforementioned incidences, just at a cursory glance, you would go, huh, doesn't seem quite right, does it? But it seems like we have these big events at about 30-year clips, and then we rinse and repeat and have more bizarre events at best in a 30-year clip, and then more again. And I come back to this Groundhog Day notion because no one seems to be learning from the mistakes. No one seems to be learning from the psyops, from the false flags, from the infiltration, from the propaganda, from the tyranny of the various agencies, countries, and I'll just call them New World Order operatives, at, you know, as a just sort of a catch-all term there. But bottom line is no one's learning anything from these mistakes. It doesn't seem. Because within about 30 years, there's a big rash of more, and everybody just goes back to sleep and goes along with the gag, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here, folks. We're not having a Lexington and Concord. We're not having a Boston Tea Party. We're not having any sort of civil disobedience or even civil discourse about these things. People just seem to be content with, well, that's over. Let's move on to the next big thing, huh? The next big disaster. So, I mean, we got rooked, lied to, and screwed, if I might say so myself, for about 3 years with the COVID psyop, the hoax. It was that bunch of bull. And rather than anyone actually learning from this or anything actually transpiring to rebuke the people behind this, nothing. Just chilling. Just moved on. So it's sort of that selective reminiscence and selective amnesia. We've forgotten that we were lied to over and over again. People were murdered by the ventilators, by the remdesivir, by the vaccines. But I mean, it's just sort of like old hat, you know? Like, oh yeah, it makes sense. Just like we knew all these, the litany of people that I mentioned were killed by elements of our government. And everyone just moved on. Till the next one happened, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And I go back to these things that I've said so many times in the past, that all three branches of government have been co-opted and are now completely, completely obliterated and just taken over. I mean, this has gone on for a long time, but it would be hard-pressed for anyone to disagree with that at this point. So if you think you're getting justice from our Department of Injustice, you are mistaken. Not happening. That old Agnostic Front song, "There's No Justice, It's Just Us." Blind justice screwed all of us. Sure did. So I don't really expect anything to take place. But I often ask these questions. I come back to these same probing problems. Problems. What's it going to take? When's the selective amnesia going to run off? When's the selective reminiscence going to run dry? Is it like in all those stupid old sitcoms like Gilligan's Island, somebody going to get hit in the head and magically the amnesia wears off and you come to the realization that, oh boy, oh wow, I didn't know who I was for a moment. I forgot I was an American. I thought I was still under the crown. I thought I was still a serf. I thought I was just still some schmuck that was supposed to sit by idly and take it. Is that it? I mean, is that just what the deal is? Everybody just needs to get hit on the head with a coconut or something? We're just going to snap out of our malaise and just sort of go, oh my goodness. We're all getting screwed. We're getting lied to on an epic scale. They're murdering us. They want us dead. It's all poison, folks. All of it. Is that what it's going to take? Is that what it's going to take? I don't know. Just questioning the answers a little bit. Just questioning the answers. And I often wonder if RFK Jr. there running for office is going to shake the dust off of anyone. You know? It seems politically, culturally, in the media, through the propaganda arms, the proverbial they have done everything to malign the baby boomer generation. It was all their fault. They didn't do anything. They stood by and did nothing. Well, it all went to doo-doo, right? Well, I wonder if any of those people have a pulse, those that have not been killed by SV40. I wonder if they're going to have that transitional phase, to quote some of the common lingo in the groomers month. You know, are they going to have a transitional phase from Act 1 to 2, as Bill Murray's character did there in Groundhog Day? Are they going to come to Jesus moment and say, oh my, RFK Jr.'s running? Well, the government killed, let's see, his father, his uncle, and definitely JFK's son. Remember that plane that just mysteriously had to crash there so old Hills could get an office in New York State? Don't get me started. I know all the Q fanatics are going to go nuts. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're not talking about how he's alive and he's really a masked person that's really going to come back out of the shadows and creep into public office. Yes, that's it. Of course. Of course, RFK Jr. is really going to run, I guess, with JFK's son. Is that what's going to happen? Anyway, I'm just joking, just a little funning for you, just a little kitty kid. Huh? But I wonder if that's going to shake any of the dust off of, you know, any segment of the voting bloc. I mean, I come back to this point, don't make a hill of beans who's running, because nobody's fixed the voting process. So, I mean, I could be running for office with Kermit the Frog or Cookie Monster as my running mate. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't make a hill of beans. Doesn't matter if Trump and RFK Jr. are on the same ticket. I don't think anybody's getting elected. They're going to get selected. So I believe, you know, I'm just sort of throwing a little hyperbole out there, a little urinating in the wind. But I do sort of wonder oftentimes, would it shake any dust out of people's brains and they come to grips? They're like, oh, man, you know, we've seen this play before. If anybody knows about the government corruption, it might be RFK Jr. It just might be. He's had a lot of family members die at the hands of these global satanic death cult members. I'm not saying he's the presidential candidate for me. I'm not saying he's a great guy. I'm just saying, you know. It does cause me a little pause, a little eyebrow raise. Huh? You never can tell, folks. Maybe that would shake people up, shake the dust out of their brains, shake the mask shackles off their face once and for all. I don't know. I don't really think so, really. I think, as I've often said, those that are too far gone are just too far gone. You can't fix them. You can't help them. You just got to stay away from them. So, unfortunately, most of the American populace is going to be collateral damage in whatever comes to pass as they ratchet up the tyranny, take away your ability to buy and sell, enforce the next big mask and vaccine debacle on the wings of the next big old pandemic. I think that's sort of what's coming down the pike here, but could be wrong. I think we've about beat the dead horse enough, don't you? You can't do everything, but you can do something. Get out there. Do your part. Make a difference. And I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Anomic Age. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm gonna go to bed.